Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your spirit that's just pouring in tonight. Thank you that your power, your spirit is strong in this place, strong upon us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Tonight, the Lord just put on my heart to talk about prayer, as prayer isn't us just talking to God. Prayer is a conversation with God where we talk to Him, but we hear Him talk to us, and we carry on a conversation. That's a true prayer. There's an art to learning to listen to the voice of the Lord, learning to hear Him. And it's important sometimes to ask God things, you know, to ask Him and then wait before Him, waiting for the answer. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," and we're His sheep. And so we hear His voice, and He wants to talk to us. And, you know, sometimes we will try to figure things out, and we'll go here and there and just, you know, be in a flutter. And finally, we'll ask the Lord, and I can just hear Him saying, "Well, finally, I was waiting on you to ask me." You know, He wants to talk to us. He wants to give us guidance. He wants to give us He wants to edify us. He wants to comfort us. You know, He even wants to correct us, because sometimes we get out of balance. We're walking in a worldly world, and sometimes we get out of balance and out of kelter. And He knows how to make that correction in us that just sets us back on true north, you know, back on the right track and right line. And so talking to the Lord is just an awesome thing. Our key scripture tonight is Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3. I think we're just going to read 1 through 2. Habakkuk 2, 1 through 2. And it says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart," which is a lookout tower, "and watch to see what He will say to me. And when I will answer, when I am corrected." So, you know, God, when we talk to God, He does correct us. And correction's not a bad thing. Correction just means that it sets us back in line with Him and with His presence. It's a good thing. You know, it just sets everything right when He corrects us. And then verse 2, "Then the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it.'" So God wants us talking to Him. He wants us to wait before Him in His presence. He wants us to listen. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear Him. And so, but we have to make a decision to put ourselves in a position where we will hear Him, get quiet before Him, listen to Him on purpose. James 1:5 says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God." So we are to ask Him when, you know, I need wisdom in this, Lord. And if we wait then before Him, He will give us what we need to know about whatever we're needing wisdom for. The gifts of the Spirit. In the gifts of the Spirit, there's the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And there's discerning of spirits. But God gives us, by His Spirit that's within us, He gives us the word of knowledge that we need at the time. And He gives us the word of wisdom that we need at the time. It's His Spirit. It's a gift of His Spirit that dwells within us as we learn to listen to Him. Isaiah 11:2. And this was a prophecy about Jesus, and it said, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Now, the Spirit of the Lord that rested upon Jesus when He was on this earth lives within us. His Spirit dwells within us. And in that Spirit, there's wisdom, there's understanding, there's counsel, there's might, there's knowledge. All of that is in our spirit being, in our spirit. So it's important that we learn to listen and learn to hear the voice of the Spirit that is within us. I'm going to read Proverbs now 3, 5 through 7, and I'm going to read it in the Message. It says, "Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil." But it says, listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. So it's like we need to learn to listen closer to the Lord. Listen to His voice in everyday things, in special things, all the time. A Spirit-filled life needs to be a continual dialogue with God. You know, we have His Word, and He speaks to us through His Word, but He also wants to speak to us in our hearts about direct things that we need to know from Him. Isaiah 40:31 says, "Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Wait is like becoming involved with the Lord. It's like being braided together with the Lord. But there's a time that we need to just be quiet before the Lord. Wait before the Lord. Set aside a time to listen to Him and hear His voice. Hallelujah. Psalms 119, and I'm going to read 101 through 105. It says, "I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And that's His written word and also His word that He speaks to us. When He drops a word in our heart, it's so sweet and it's so good. 104, "Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We're going to talk tonight about some keys to hearing God's voice. And it's important when you're wanting to listen to the Lord, you need to have a pen and paper handy, and it's good to have a journal, a notebook. And so that's why we passed out notebooks. If you didn't have one, there's some things we're going to do tonight. But you need, when you hear the voice of the Lord, you need to be able to write it down. You need to write it down, and you need to be able to go back and look at it later. And it's also good to choose a quiet place and a quiet time to come before the Lord, like usually early morning or right before you go to bed at night. Find a quiet place to communicate with the Lord. You know, and we read our word, but we need to, more than read our word, we need to read the word and we need to have it in there, but we need to take time to just have a conversation with God during that quiet time. Listen to Him, ask Him questions, talk to Him. And when we set aside a time for the Lord, it's important to relax our soul and stop the striving in our mind and rest our body and just wait, just relax before the Lord. When you're relaxed, you're in a position to hear the Lord. And, you know, our minds just get so full of stuff and so busy, and they just clamp, you know, our minds just go and go and go. And we need a time where it's just like God, we just can just blank up our mind and just think about God. And He resets, He just resets our screen. He resets us. It's like hitting the refresh button on the screen. And like you would your computer. It's a time to put your attention on God and think about His power, His goodness. Think about Just think about him. Put your mind on him. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And set your mind on those things above, not on things of the earth. So when we come to our time with the Lord, it's a time to discipline our mind, to just put our thoughts on the Lord. You know, just lay our thoughts aside, just put them aside and think about the Lord. And then another important key is to come correctly. Psalms 100, chapter 100, verse 4 said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. It's important to come before the Lord worshiping him. Worshiping him clears the atmosphere. It cleans our soul. It clears our mind. It sets the atmosphere for hearing God, worshiping the Lord. And in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle of Moses, there was a golden altar where they would bring their petitions to the Lord and their prayers to the Lord. But in the morning, they would always come and just praise the Lord. Just say, God, you did this and you did that and you did great things and you delivered us and you set us free and you provided for us. And nothing's too hard for you and you're the great God. And in the mornings, they would just come worshiping God. And then after that, then later in the afternoon, there was a time where they could bring their petitions to God and they could bring their needs to God. But when you start your prayer time by thinking about how good God is and how big he is and how wonderful it is, it calibrates your mind and sets it in order. Because a lot of times if we just come first with our petitions, our problems may look so huge and so gigantic that they just look impossible. And, you know, it's just like, oh, this is just huge. But when we begin thinking about how big God is and how there's nothing impossible for him and that he can do anything and he made us and he made this world and he made everything that in it and he can handle anything, there's nothing too big for our God. And when we start our prayer time by getting our attention to God, then when we bring our needs, we have faith. What had seemed impossible before now is like, well, God, this isn't anything for you. You know, you can handle this. You can work on it. So it's time, when we come before the Lord, it's time to come with thanksgiving and praise and honoring him, who he is. And then we need to watch and listen. We read in Habakkuk, I will stand my watch and set myself and watch to see what he will say to me. And remember in Kings chapter 19, 11 and 12, and the Lord called Elijah and he said, you know, go up to a mountain, I want to speak to you. And there was the lightning and there was the earthquake. But it said God wasn't in any of this, but he was there in a still small voice. And sometimes when we come wanting to hear from God, we expect to see a bolt of lightning or some marvelous, you know, powerful, awesome thing. But most of the time when God speaks to us, it's soft. It's a still, small voice. Instead of thinking of hearing from God like a bolt of lightning, think of it as the landing of the dove, gentle. And most times God speaks to us, it's just gentle impressions that we, if our mind's busy, we'll miss them. But it isn't always words. Sometimes it's a mental picture that he'll give you. Or he'll bring a scripture to your mind. Or he'll give you a vision or just a mental picture. You'll see something. And it usually comes very soft and gentle. And you have to be paying attention. Yeah, this is God speaking to me. It's his way of speaking in the still, small voice. And then it's important to write down what he says. When the Lord gives you a picture, a few words, whatever, write them down. And when you're in a mode of listening to the Lord, don't be concerned about, your handwriting or grammar or trying to compare what you're hearing to the word at that moment. There'll be a time later when you can correct it and judge it and put it at right. But when you're listening, just don't analyze it with your mind. Just write down what you're hearing in your spirit. Because if you get your mind involved, it'll block out what God is wanting to say to you. So as you listen, just write. Just write. If it's a little bit or a lot, just begin to write what you're hearing in that still small voice in whatever way God's speaking. And then later you can find scriptures for it. You can correct your spelling or the way you wrote it or whatever. But at the time that you're hearing from the Lord, just remember not to get your brain in the way. Not to get your thought process in the way. Just from your spirit, write what you hear the Lord saying. The time you spend with God is where God will download the blueprints of the things he wants to build in your life. The more you become skilled at discerning the voice of the Lord, the more mistakes you'll avoid and the more opportunities you'll have. You learn to listen, and you're going to be where God wants you to be at the right time. And you're going to know. It's like the kingdom of God is today. And we need to just hear him and obey for today what he's saying. And praise him for today where we are. And it's like our walk with God is moment to moment to moment. And I do this sometimes. But the kingdom of God is here right now. And we need to listen right now for this moment, for this day, and be content with where we are and not be thinking, well, if this will change, if that will change, if something else will change, then I'll do what God wants me to do, or then I can. But the kingdom of God is right now, right now, right now, right now, this second, this minute. What does God want to say to me today? Who does God want me to touch today? I mean, it's just like live for the moment. Live right now with God. God is alive, he's breathing, he's real. Live right now with him today. Hallelujah. We're going to do some practice tonight. And I want you to start, and I want you to write down 5 things that you love about God. Awesome things or wonderful things of God. And we're just going to be quiet and write down 5 things that God is to you. Okay. You don't have to do this, but does anyone want to share what you wrote down? Okay, Nina, what did you write about God? Yeah. Anybody else want to share? Yeah, Ruben? Yeah. Yeah, it's neat because we're kind of writing the same thing, and what you sensed is completely wrote is what completely different than what Nina wrote because it's so big. He's so big and wonderful. Anybody else want to share what you wrote? He's what? Gentleness. I love that. His goodness. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, I think everybody here probably wrote something different because God's just so good and big and awesome. And he's all powerful. The mightiness of God just blows me away. Nothing hard for him. He's just, you know, and that's just one thing among many, but God is a good God. Okay, next, I want you to write down 2 impossible situations that God turned around. One in the Word and one in your life. What was an impossible situation to you that God turned around? Okay. We could quote Bible things all day long that Jesus did, but it puts our mind on how he did it. But anybody have any personal things that was an impossible situation God turned around today? Wow. That's an awesome testimony. Wow. Hallelujah. The thing that I wrote down, our impossible situation, it was impossible for us to buy a house. We were wanting to buy a house. It was impossible. And God we didn't have the money. Nobody would finance us. We just didn't have any way to have our own home. And God did a series of miracles. Just now we have a beautiful home paid for. It's just like that's a miracle. That was an impossible situation that God turned around. Amen. Anybody else have a testimony of an impossible situation? Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. God preserved you. He preserved you. Yeah, awesome. That is cool. Yes, amen. Well, now we're going to do a little bit of listening. And I just want us to be quiet before the Lord. Just close your eyes, and we're just going to spend a moment quiet before the Lord. And as you're quiet before the Lord, just imagine Him walking up and down these aisles, and He's here, His presence is here, and just begin to become aware of His presence here with us. Jesus, I'm your little lamb, I'm your sheep, and I have ears to hear your voice, and you're here tonight to speak to me. And Lord, I open my heart to hear you, and I ask to hear your voice. And Lord, what would you want to say to me personally tonight? And do you love me? Jesus, do you love me? As these answers drop into your heart, just write down what the Lord would say to you or what he would show you. And 2 days ago in the morning when I asked the Lord this question, a mental picture dropped down into my mind, and I saw myself standing on the seashore, and the waves were just washing up and washing up and washing up and washing up. And the Lord says, I love you like the ocean. It's so big. My love is huge for you. And it never keeps reaching out to you. It's always there. It's always reaching out. My love's always there, reaching out to you like the waves coming against the sand. And he said, just come on in to my love. Just come in to the deep of my love. And let it just hide yourself in me and my love. That's what I heard from the Lord. And it came as a mental picture in my mind of the love of God and how constant and how huge it is. Amen. Does anybody get something that we want to share? Okay, Jasmine. It's ending. When we say to each other, I love you more, it's kind of a game. But when Jesus says it, he means it. It's true. He loves us more. Amen. I like that. It was, I said, ask him, do you love me? Do you love me? And what would you say to me about your love? Amen. We're going to do a couple of more things. The next question I want you to just be still and ask the Lord is, what blocks me from moving forward in my relationship with you? Is there anything that hinders me in drawing closer to you? So we're just going to just be quiet and listen a little bit and see what the Lord would say. When I asked the Lord that question, he said, what hinders me from being drawn closer to you? What I heard was you're overwhelmed with busyness, and you let problems and busyness hinder you. And he said, what you do about that is talk to me about every care. Talk to me about everything. Bring everything to me. Give it to me. And just don't try to carry it all yourself. Just give it to me. Hallelujah. So sometimes we are hindered in our attitudes. And if we ask God, he will tell us what is hindering us and what to do about it. you know, and then it's something that we need to hear all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a whole lot of things here, but we're going to have to cut some things up. And these things are things that you can talk to the Lord about in your own time. One of the questions I had for God was, where is my thinking off track with yours? Lord, where am I thinking wrong? And the Lord said to me, you see people, you see the problems in people, and you see the surface. And what you need to do, what I do, I see the gold and the calling and the real person within them. And he says, I want you to begin to see my purpose for that person and my goals and what I see for them and the gold that's buried there, the diamonds that's buried there. Begin to see those things in people and bring them to the surface. You know, we just look at and judge with what we see and what we see on the surface. And that was one of the things. But there's a lot of things in our walk with the Lord that we need to. One of my questions to the Lord was, what are the wrong beliefs that you want me to be aware of? And the Lord told me, you think it's your job to carry the work of the ministry. And he said, that's not your job to carry the work of the ministry or my work. You're to work with me and let me carry the load and listen to what I may have you lay down or what you could delegate to somebody else. And so that was one of the questions that I asked the Lord. Another question that we need to often ask of the Lord, are there any people I need to forgive and release to a greater extent? And what should I do toward forgiving or reaching out to them? And so those are questions that we ask ourselves. That's part of the search me, O God, and know my heart. And we are to pray for our family. Our family unit, we're to pray for our family members. We're praying for our church members. But one of the things that is our marriages are very important, and one of the questions, my question was, hallelujah. One of my questions was, how do you see my spouse? How do you, God, how do you look at Calvin? And the Lord told me, I see him faithful to me. And I said, Lord, what would you say about my marriage? And the Lord says, your marriage is a testimony of my faithfulness. You complement each other. Your strengths and weaknesses are opposite. You complete one another. And I asked the Lord, how do you want me to see my marriage? And he says, as your greatest earthly blessing. So it's just, and there's a lot of, and then I said, what would you have me to do to enhance the feeling of honor, respect, and love my partner needs? And the Lord said, cherish and highly esteem Calvin as a gift from me. Believe in him and esteem him. Trust the ministry gifts I've given him. Enjoy him as your husband and your friend. And 1 Peter 3:2 in the Amplified kind of says the same thing. It came to me later. It says, when they observe, this is the husbands observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves together with your reverence for your husband. You're to feel for him all that reverence includes, to respect, to defer to revere him, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him, that is, to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. Another question that we need to ask the Lord, how do you see my children? Lord, why do you see my children? What are their callings? Are there any special instructions? what gifts and talents that you've given them do you want me to focus on and help develop? Are there weaknesses you want me to pray about and come alongside to strengthen? Is there anything you'd want me to do to help nurture their walk with you? And so this is a whole lot about family, and even in the church family, these are things that we can pray about one another. Lord, I pray for this person. How do you see them? How can I be a blessing to them? How can I strengthen them and uphold them? And so praying is a dialogue with God for the people in our sphere of influence. You know, it's a conversation that we need to ask God specific things. You know, raising children in a church, raising church children, we need the wisdom of God. And we get the wisdom. It says if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So we need to ask specific questions. You know, Mitch and Nina cover the youth group. You know, they need to bring every child, every young person that they have in their youth group to the Lord and say, God, what would you say about them and how can I lift them up and help them? What talents and callings do they have inside of them that I need to help develop? And so these are dialogues about people that we're in relationship that we're responsible for before the Lord. Hallelujah. And so prayer, again, is it's not just talking to God, it's listening to God. And it's asking him specific questions, how to improve our state of being right now, right where we are, and how to lift up our brothers and sisters and our family to the Lord. And we can ask him questions that will help us know exactly, you know, how to pray for that one, how to lift them up. expect the help of the Holy Spirit in praying for people. I know a lot of times in prayer, when there's demonic influence in someone's life, a lot of times I'll pick that up. And when I can bind those evil spirits that's tormenting that person, it's like hitting the bullseye. You are able to stop the work of the enemy. When the enemy comes in, we need to be aware of it. And we need to expect, as we're praying, to have discerning of spirits. And discerning of spirits isn't only evil spirits. It's being aware of the presence of the Lord, of the angelic host around us. But it's also, you know, it's like when we let the Spirit help pray through us, we know the enemy that we're dealing with. And if we know who we're dealing with, we can stop him. And so it's important to have, it's important to pray with the Spirit. And to wait on the Lord, to just be in his presence and listening to him. Hallelujah. Learning to hear his voice. Learning what to do. Anytime God gives a word of knowledge to someone, it's to set people free. Words of knowledge will go with gifts of healing or deliverance or setting people free. It's the Spirit. The Spirit within us has that knowledge. Hallelujah. It has the wisdom on what to do with things that we don't know how to deal with. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a couple of the scriptures. I'm just going to read Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2 again. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart or lookout tower and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. So we have to determine and plan times to hear from the Lord. And a lot of times we do hear from the Lord all day. In the midst of our busy schedule, God will whisper to things. But there, we do need to have a time where we pull away from our own activities and busyness and busy thoughts, and we purposely give time to hear from the Lord because he wants to talk to us. It's part of what we need to do, hallelujah, to live a successful life. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 in the Message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. I love that. All the time, everywhere you go, listen to God. Keep a listening ear. And I've noticed that when I have time, I've noticed when I set time apart and purposely spend time quietly with God, that then as I'm out and busy and doing, I hear His voice better. It's like setting a time around to have personal time with God just puts you in that frame. It just puts you in contact with God where then you'll hear His voice easier all day and in all the middle of the busyness. You'll find, oh yeah, I'm hearing. And so God wants us hearing. Tonight, when the word came about God using songs and creating His songs in us, and something came up in me, and I just want to share it with you, that God has used songs a lot of times when things were going on and I didn't know what was going on, but the Spirit began to sing through me. Years ago, Calvin and Reuben, they were in Bob, and several were in Navajoa putting a roof on a church. And remember, Reuben, there was a spirit of death came. You smelled death. And right after that, that board broke, and Calvin fell through the roof down on a cement, hit a sewing machine on the way back down, and it was really a bad fall. And he really was very close to dying. The death was very, very close at the door when he fell that day. And I was at home. Nobody called me, but I got up early in the morning, and I just began to sing like it was just flooding out of my spirit. We are in that army of the Lord. We've been washed by His blood. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword. No stronghold of Satan can... Stronghold of Satan can stand... Anyway, I don't even hardly know that song today. Kenneth Copeland sang it a lot. But that morning, I got up and I sung it at the top of my lungs all day long. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force with a song of praise and a two-edged sword. And I sing that over and over again. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. And I just sang it and sang it and sang it and sang it. And I know I was battling in the spirit for His life, for Him to live and not die, and for Him to be well. Hallelujah. But that came up God uses music, you know, as a force flowing through us sometime. Like 2 weeks ago, I was heading home from prayer and a song came up in me about Jubilee. I'm set free. I'm set free. This is the year of Jubilee and I am set free. I am set free. I am free. I'm no longer in bondage. I'm free. It was an old song I knew when I was a child, but I began to sing it with force and I was singing, this is the year of Jubilee and the captive are set free and I'm set free. And I realized I was singing that song for Jewel. And I was just singing it and singing it from the depths of my spirit. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of Jubilee. And so God uses music. It's like those times, sometimes when I'm battling in the spirit for things in a victory, and I'm singing a victory song, it's like it's piped in me. It's like that music's piped in me, and it just begins to come out, and it begins to declare the will of the Lord and the victory in the situation. Hallelujah. And so when he said that about, you know, God's going to create music in us, it's going to be inside of us, and it's going to flow out, and we're going to see great things in the way of music. Amen. Well, we probably have just a few minutes before the youth come up. Rebecca, would you like to share just a little bit with us about the ministry you're going into? Can you? Rebecca's going into a full-time ministry working on campus with young people, and we have decided to help, the church has decided to help sponsor her $50 a month. She has to raise her own support to be in this ministry, and so it's just an honor that God is going to use her.
Thanks. So, like she said, going into ministry, I'm actually going to be an intern with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship USA. So what that means is I'll be a campus minister to college students, and I'll be doing Bible studies with them, working on fellowshipping and doing discipleship, and working on growing our student leaders, because basically what InterVarsity's mission is to do is to create world changers. That's the overall thing. And a lot of times in college, there's a need for that. There's a need for the church. There's a need for parachurches like InterVarsity. And parachurch is just something, a group that you go to, a community that you can be a part of and feel like a family. And that's basically what InterVarsity did in my life at NAU, which is why I feel really strongly about working with them. And, sorry, I get nervous when I'm talking. But basically, I will be going to Ogden, Utah at the end of July, hopefully, and doing ministry and going to Weber State up there. And that's north of Salt Lake City for just geographic purposes, if you're having a hard time picturing that. And working for the year with students and developing world changers, basically, through Bible studies and through sharing the gospel and being a light on campus, because that's really, really needful in college, especially because college students are great. They're kind of a rare breed, just kind of like middle schoolers are and high schoolers are. They're kind of their own thing. And they're doing so many different discoverings of themselves and who they are and what their life is going to be like. And basically, when you're in college, you have so many temptations, you have so many things that could go wrong, or so many different options you could choose. And InterVarsity wants to be there to help guide that, if that makes any sense. Also, they're there to build the community and build up church leaders. So it's reaching non-believers, but it's also helping those who have gone to church and continuing to strengthen those who might be considering leaving their faith after college. There's like, I think it's like 80% of college students that have had faith before leave after college, basically. They just don't, they turn away from it. And it's really sad. And yeah, so that's a little bit of it. If you want more information, you can go ahead and contact me or try and catch me after church right now. And I can talk a little bit more about like what I would be doing specifically at Weber State, because that's a little different as well. But yeah, cool. Sorry.
I don't know if Rebecca's going to be with us much. She has a busy, busy summer before she goes. She's going all over the place. And I'd like us to just come up and get around her and pray for her, for the anointing of the Lord upon her, and that she'll just excel in what she's doing in the ministry she's called to do right now.